Ken Gill on Thursday night, Fred Bennett Friday night. I spoke yesterday morning, and then Stuart and Jennifer spoke, and then a lady by the name of Jane Ferris spoke in the afternoon. It was a wholesome, and it was interesting. One message built on the next one, on the next one. Amazing how the Spirit of God moved through that, and some prophetic words, some time of prophecy was prophetic words in the afternoon. It was a really, really good time. This morning, I'm going to speak on a second message in preparation for the healing conference coming up on the first weekend in May. And I'm hoping that anticipation, or maybe a better word is expectation, builds with you. I spoke to Timothy a few days ago, and he said this. They, right now in his church, he's an associate pastor in California. In his church right now, they're seeing an outpouring going on right now, which has caused them to have services every night. And it's quite something to manage, he says, but he says, I'm believing that we are bringing some of that with us as we come to Lethbridge. And so he's coming, he's bringing a partner, a friend of his from the Boston area who loves and is very engaged in street ministry, street evangelism for healing, and a couple young ladies from the California area as well who are into this, into teams going to go out on the street. So please keep praying. God wants to do everywhere what he is doing there. Yesterday, I highlighted that the kingdom of God is in you. It just needs to come out. And Esther, where are you here? I appreciate what you shared about, I think, as you were praying or declaring that we have this physical kind of this awareness, but it's to step into the spirit realm. It's to step into where God always is. And that's the intent. That should be the intent whenever we gather together, that we hear things in the spirit. When we hear things in the spirit, it goes a lot deeper and further than the physical. So this morning, my title is God Still Speaks Today, and I'm going to take you to two passages, Acts 14, 8 through 10, and 1 Corinthians 2, 13 to 16. So Acts 14, beginning at verse 8, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. The second passage is 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The conference next month Timothy gave some suggestions, and we took the one that we believe would most fit what we're believing God for, and it's prophetic and healing evangelism. It is safe, it is encouraging, non-threatening to engage in healing in this building or with other believers. But when you step outside of that, when you actually go to some people who may not be faith-based, who may not be Christians, who may not believe in healing, and you say, you know, I see this infirmity, I understand that you're limping, can I pray for you? That's a whole different scenario. Yet that is where the power of God needs to be displayed. We learn here, but we can also practice there. So prophetic and healing evangelism. And now those who teach or write about healing ministry, those who are in this further advanced than we are. I think we are just stepping into this in a way. They state that oftentimes healing is preceded by a word of knowledge. If you were here last year, and if you remember, the first night on Friday night, Timothy spoke, and he says, oftentimes God will give me a word of knowledge. And he'll give me a number of them, like four or five or six of them, of different things God wants to do or people he wants to touch. But he only had one word, and it was flat feet. And he was kind of puzzled about that, flat feet. And so he inquired, and in the end, there was nine people sitting here with flat feet. There was one little girl, I think it was Sam and Lisa's girl. She had one of her feet was flat with no arches. And I think she received an arch right there. And there might have been one more. But by the end of the week, about a week later, seven of the nine had arches in their feet. Two of them never did. So he got that by a word of knowledge. And he says, he told me a few days ago, he says, Bill, I'm still like using your church as an example of the story of the flat feet. Because he said, it was such an encouragement to me, though I thought, Lord, I'm not hearing you enough. But there was seven people who God ended up touching and healing of flat feet. Now we know, we all agree, every Christian would believe and assert that God speaks through his word. No one would question that. God speaks through his word. His word is a living word. If it comes to any topic, you can probably find it, something with some help. So, what does God say about evangelism? What does he say about tithing? What does he say about raising children? What does he say about business practices? What does he say about loving your neighbor? All those things. You can find passages to look up in a topical way and do a study. The word also speaks to you when a specific verse, as people say, it just jumped off the page at me. Or when I read this, I got this word. It's like, I know this, it was like now it came alive to me. And every other way that God will speak, it may never contradict the word of God. If it does, you can bring that into question, not the word of God. God speaks through providence or circumstances. And that one you will see most clearly is when you've done this prayerfully. Lord, show me the way. I have this job option and I have that job option. Show me the way. And providentially, when you put it like that out there, you can believe, you need to believe, God will show you. Providence and circumstance is a key way that God speaks. Now, he also speaks through your conscience. Kids, I like the fact that you have a conscience. Kids know when they do things wrong most of the time. Some are just like, well, I didn't know. But the obvious ones, they know they're not supposed to get in mom's pantry without permission. They might do it, but their conscience tells them not because they're like, what do you got behind back? Nothing. They have a conscience. Praise God for a conscience. And God speaks through his spirit, which is the one we get to develop as Christians. He'll speak through a still small voice. Now that little phrase, I think, has thrown a lot of people off. You find it in 1 Kings 19, right? There's Elijah. He's like, he ran away from Jezebel and he's in despair and he wants to die. And God, there's a fire, there's an earthquake, there's wind, and God was in none of it. And then our English Bible say, then he heard a still small voice. In a way, it's even overstating it. It was less than that. It was like barely a whisper, if that. It was closer to there was silence. And so we talk about, hearing God's small voice or his still small voice. How many of you have heard a literal voice that it was God? Okay. It happens, but it's rare. You can hear an audible voice at times, and it's like it's maybe behind you. It's very rare. And so when we talk about God's still small voice, what does that mean? We're going to talk about that this morning. God also speaks through signs and wonders and prophecies prompted by the Holy Spirit, including tongues and interpretation. God gave tongues and interpretation of tongues for the purpose of communicating something. And sometimes we don't even get to know what we're saying. But when we don't know how to pray, there is tongues It's for edification, and there is some language released that somehow does something in heaven's realm. So this morning, we're going to consider God speaking through his Spirit. I want to say to you, he doesn't just speak this way to some of you, but to all of you, his sons. And that's male and female. God does speak, yes, by his word, by conscience, by providence, but also by his Spirit. And I am encouraged that more and more of you are beginning to recognize his voice, but some of you have never yet seemed to have entered that journey of hearing his voice. And so wherever you are, there's always room for more. So we're going to talk about this. He doesn't just speak to some of you. He speaks to all of you. The problem is we may not hear him speak, but when he is speaking, or recognize when he is speaking. Now, the Bible gives testimony of various ways that the Holy Spirit communicates in subjective but real ways. The one that is most out there is a trance. Not too many people, and even those who've had them, can identify with, I've had a trance. Now, what's a trance? A trance is like an out-of-body experience. It's like your soul separates from you, a state in which the soul seems to have passed out of the body into another state of being with the external senses partially or totally blocked. Ezekiel 8, you'll find the prophet in a trance, and one in Acts 10, that maybe we're more familiar with, where it says, he, Peter, fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to earth. Then the next chapter, when he recounts the story, he puts it this way. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance, I saw a vision. So he had a trance, an object like a great sheet. Another way is a vision. A vision is like a trance in the sense that it takes place when you're awake. You are not asleep when you receive a vision, and you see things take place. You see things take place. And you may hear that you see things. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these. I just want to mention some of these ways. The third one is a dream. A dream takes place when you're sleeping. So the difference between a vision and a dream, a vision, you're awake. A dream is when you're sleeping. Now, Herman Riffle, who is a profound into him, and he spent his life, this is his ministry, interpreting dreams and writing on dreams and teaching on dreams. He's a seasoned teacher. He states that most often dreams are primarily a message for you. He actually talks of like 95% of dreams you get have a message for you. He'll use an example like, you know, you see a person in a dream. And you could think, well, this message is for them. No, there's something about that person, a character matter or an action or something about them that God wants to highlight, but it pertains to you. He says only 5% of dreams are for someone else. But this is what else he says. He also points out that the frequent use of dreams in the Bible is one of the most important ways that God communicates with man. My frustration is I know I dream, but I don't remember. See, the reason God talks to you in dreams is because it doesn't go into the brain or the mind until you wake up. It is spirit to spirit. And according to 1 Corinthians 2, that's how God talks to you. He talks to your spirit. And when you sleep, your brain is actually not standing in the way. And so if you wake up in the night or you wake up first thing in the morning and you had a dream and you can remember, begin to write it down. The rest may come as you're writing. Because when the brain is put in gear, then you forget. You miss it. So God speaks to you, all of you, in dreams. I hope you can receive that. And maybe your frustration is mine. And the Lord, would you please help me remember them? I'm like Pharaoh. I know I dreamt, but I don't know what the dreams are. Well, actually, Pharaoh didn't know it. It was Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to tell me the interpretation, but I first want you to tell me what I dreamt. So these three ways of communicating all include seeing. And by far, the most common of these three is dreams. But it says in Joel, Prophet Joel, quoted in Acts, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. When people describe a dream, what do they say? I saw. It is rare for you to be able to say, I heard. Your dreams, you see. It's like a vision and a trance. You see. Rare for someone to say, I had a dream, and this is what was said. Now, you describe it in words. You know, a picture's worth 1,000 words. You get this dream. It could be a few seconds long. Dreams oftentimes aren't that long, and it takes you a long time to spell it out, or to speak it out, to write it out. So it's not common to hear sounds in your dream. So, but I want to speak primarily this morning about hearing God speak. Not just seeing God or seeing something in a dream or vision. Hearing God speak. As we know the familiar passage, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. Now we can go over all of those ways and say we hear him through his word. We hear him through circumstances. We hear him through our conscience. But we also hear him, we would say audibly. And this is where we have trouble. Because it's like, okay, you hear God, but I don't. Is there something wrong with me? You know, you seem to hear God all the time, and I hardly ever hear him. Lord, what's the block? What is it when Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice? What does this voice of God sound like? There's no cookie cutter answer. It sounds like a lot of different sounds. But most of the time, it's a very soft voice. Or sometimes he'll yell at you to get your attention. It's got to be loud. But a lot of times, it's very, very soft. Hearing God is often a matter of quietness. So with noise being everywhere, especially learning to hear God, it's good to quiet yourself, to be alone, no distractions, no interruptions, and say, God, I want to begin to hear you. Whatever that means, whatever you sound like, you need to block out the noise, whatever that is, and have a setting of quietness to begin to listen. So make an intentional effort to quiet the noise of your life and spend some time listening. Now, it can come as a thought into your mind, like a simple thought. Proverbs 16:3 says this, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. I remember years ago, I was springtime and I was wondering how to split up my cattle. I wanted to graze them. I wanted to do this with this piece and that with that piece, but there was something I couldn't figure it out. And I was scraping the barn with a tractor and scraper, and I was pondering this, and all of a sudden the thought came to mind that cleared everything up. Thank God I realized it was him. That was my thought as soon as I owned it, but God gave me a thought. So a thought is a very real way. The Spirit of God prompts his people that way, and it's very common, and I'm glad that many of you are hearing God that way, or at least saying, you know, that could be God. I had this thought. This thought was dropped into my spirit. But here's a key. Faith needs to be exercised. As soon as you say, I wonder if that's God. I'm not sure. How would I know? Doubt arises, and likely it's gone. So what if you just go with the possibility or the likelihood that it is God? And if you're wrong, you're wrong. Now, if it's a matter of life and death situation, maybe not quite like that. But if you are asking God, oh, Lord, I want to hear you. I want to learn to hear you. And I got this dilemma. I got this challenge, this decision to make. And this thought drops into mind. Why can't you say, thank you, Lord? And if it's different, will you show me? But I'm going to go with this. Now, there's always safety in going to another and saying, you know, this is what I got. So Paul is ministering in Lystra in Acts 14 that we read earlier. And it says, And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. And then it says this, Paul, observing him intently and seeing, maybe a better word is perceived. So here's an audio, however big his listening group was, he saw a man crippled from his feet, obvious, you know, he might have been carried in, if Paul may have seen him being carried in, but he perceived this man had faith to be healed. How would Paul know? Well, we'd say word of knowledge, but did he hear God's voice? How did Paul perceive? Well, we say, well, he saw. Well, what did he see? It doesn't say exactly what, but he saw, he perceived, he had faith to be healed, and he said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. I'm going to suggest to you, I'm going to say more than suggest to you, I firmly believe Paul heard something from the Spirit of God in the Spirit that while he was speaking, while he was preaching, the Holy Spirit pointed him out and said, he has faith to be healed. And so he, with confidence, yes, with faith, with confidence and boldness, he says, stand up and walk. And the man stood up and leaped. How did Paul know this? Do you think he had somewhere a beginning of this and it was cultivated and he was mature and growing in it? Probably, or most likely. And so be encouraged. If you're still in the beginning of this or haven't even left the starting line, you can begin to hear God's voice and you can grow in it where you grow in confidence. And so when it comes to healing, it isn't just a stab in the dark, but God points someone out, or that there is, you don't know their background, you don't know what got them there, you don't know if it's a sin in their past that caused them to be crippled, but there is something the Spirit of God is telling you that makes no sense to you, but you discern his voice and you respond to it and says, Jesus says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And lo and behold, this person rise up. Why not? Does it have to be like, you know, we hear these accounts of I think it was Todd White, 700 or 1,000 times that he prayed, finally somebody got healed. Where he's at now is he hears God. And he says to this person, I mean, this is his ministry, his ministry of love. He says, God loves you a lot. And he begins to talk and prophesy over this person what's happened to them. And these people are blown away, and he says, and then he heals them. Simply, or because, he hears God and speaks what God is telling him. So like everything else in life, if you want to get better at something, you need to learn and practice. Growing in your ability to hear God speak to you is by learning it and practicing whatever you're learning. Now, as I said from the outset, it's safest in this building. Or amongst other Christians. But if for any one of you who want to go further than that, we will have opportunity on the Saturday afternoon, and if depending on the response of that, one more time on Sunday afternoon to go into the community and love on people in the name of Jesus. You pray about it. This one is to operate in some of the spiritual gifts, an ability to hear God is essential. A word of knowledge. Word of wisdom, prophecy, hearing God is essential. Now, spiritual gifts can be taught. Would you agree with me? Spiritual gifts can be taught. You have all received at least, I'm putting a question. Do you believe that you, Christian, you, son of God, could possibly operate in any one of the 9 gifts spelled out in Corinthians 12? Some of you may not be sure. You say, well, I've never spoken in tongues, never mind interpreting tongues. The Spirit of God gives to each as he wills. But if you recognize the gift and you practice it, yes, we get to make mistakes in spiritual gifts. Don't call someone a heretic if the prophetic word is off. You may not yet be called a prophet, but there's a room for prophecy. and we learn by stumbling at times and being corrected and saying, okay, God, something was off. Spiritual gifts can be taught, and that's something many people don't understand. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. And what corrects ignorance better than teaching? Lord, I didn't know that until someone came along and straightened out my theology. Until you gave me revelation, I didn't know. I was ignorant by teaching. And teaching has brought revelation to many believers about gifts operating in them already. It is possible that you are operating in a word of knowledge and you never knew it was a word of knowledge. It's possible you have discerning of spirits and you never knew that's what God gave you until someone came and taught you. This is what it is. This is how you make sense of it. And this is how you are to cultivate that or steer that or direct that or steward it. And Paul is referring to more than just a general teaching on the subject. He says in 1 Corinthians 14:31, you can all prophesy one by one. Yesterday, Jennifer had handpicked a number of people. She had asked me, Bill, who do you have in your church that is cultivating the prophetic gift? And I gave her some names as she approached him, and so it was safe. But I want to say to you this morning, based on the word of God, you can all learn to prophesy. Which means you have to learn to hear God speak, whatever that sounds like. And for those of you who have never heard God speak that way, do not be discouraged. He does want you to, my sheep, hear my voice. Yes, through the objective ways. I'm not discounting that. And it must always line up with the word of God. But a prophetic word is for encouragement. It is a word of life. Paul tells Timothy, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. The gift is not for you. It's to be for the benefit and blessing of others. And so if you have these gifts, God wants you to cultivate them for the edifying of the body. So in the remaining time, I want to go over a few things which I also shared 1 year ago. It's okay to hear things again. For some of you, it's new. You weren't here a year ago. And it is from a book from Randy Clark, The Essential Guide to Healing. It's like if someone said, Bill, maybe you should preach yesterday's message, that would have been just 24 hours later. And so I can do it 360 days later as well. And this is what Randy writes in his book. Based upon the feedback from people interviewed who move in the gift of healing, they have discovered 5 primary ways that the word came. Okay? 5 ways. The first one is you can feel the word. So you mean to hear God speak sometimes means feeling? Yes. My sheep hear my voice, and sometimes it's a feeling. You feel a pain, but it's not your pain. You walked into the building healthy and well. You didn't know you had an ache in your knee. But now you got this pain in your knee, and it's stabbing you. You may have never thought of that. Some of you are familiar with this teaching. You may be feeling somebody else's pain. Which takes me back to what I also said at the beginning. We need to learn to not just rely on the physical senses, the touch, taste, hear, see, etc., but the spiritual senses. When walk in the spirit includes this one. You get a sharp pain in your body, and it's the spirit communicating something to you. He's speaking to you in your physical body. It can be a throbbing. Your ankle is throbbing. All of a sudden, a spasm in your back. And we're going to do this for the last Sunday this month. Healing is for everyone. Or to engage in ministry of healing is for all of us. And so you may not be the one at the mic or at the front, but you've got this pain. And so you need to go to someone and say, I got this pain in my back. And if Timothy is saying, so Timothy's saying, is there anybody here who's got back pain? Why would you get it if it's not your pain? God wants to do something with it. It can even be a strong emotion, a feeling of fear. You could be in a smaller enclosed environment, in a bus, in a car, even a building or store or house, and it is like this darkness comes over you, and you get this phobia. God's telling, might be telling you something. You're picking up somebody else's fear. See, we're not used to putting our spiritual antennas out, as Frank Harms calls it. You see, if we're sensitive to the spirit realm, and we understand someone is teaching us that God speaks through feeling that way, we might pay attention, we may pick up on these things and say, God, okay, I'm hearing you, what do I do with that? The second one is, you can think them. This one may be more common to you. The thoughts come when you're not trying to think of a word of knowledge, they just come. It could be a split second, or it could be repetitive. Lots of accounts out there of that. There was one, he was driving a vehicle, and he was told to turn around. And he was going somewhere. And it was repeated, turn around. I think it was the third time, turn around. And so finally, okay, made no sense to him, and he turned around. And he found out the bridge just ahead was busted up, broken up, saved his life. You see, a thought can be dropped at just a split second or repetitively. Now, if we're not paying attention, most of us aren't, especially if we're very new to this, there's so much noise and distractions, you know, and why wouldn't God scream at you? I don't know why not. But he wants us to walk in his spirit, always saying, Father, what are you saying? I believe Jesus walked that way. He didn't just get his marching instructions at 5 a.m. in the morning for the day. He got them throughout the day. He comes to Zacchaeus, right? It may well be he received a word of knowledge or something about there's a man hiding. You don't see him, but he's there. He was in tune. A thought drop may have dropped into his spirit. And without even seeing him, physically seeing him, he says, Zacchaeus, come down. Jesus had to cultivate this just like us. It can be a mental impression, just a mental impression, not even a thought, but you get this impression. And you try and explain this. And again, you know, you get this impression, it takes way more words than this instant second impression, but it was an impression. God speaks to you that way. 1 Corinthians 2, spirit to spirit. Now, our mind tries to do all kinds of gymnastics with that. We want to rationalize it. We want to understand it. Make sure it lines up with the word. Yes, it has to. Walk by faith. Allow mistakes. And be humble enough to say, I guess I was wrong. But Lord, how else am I going to grow? So, one, you can feel them. Two, you can think them. Three, you can see them. It can be similar to a daydream, or it can be an open vision where you don't see anything else but see something like a large screen TV open in front of you. So, topic of healing. You're just minding your own business. You're sitting in this building, and Timothy's teaching, and all of a sudden, you see a big toe. And Steve says, yep, my big toe's broken. Which, by the way, it is. If you're not aware that God speaks that way, you'll miss it. It can be a person with a certain condition. You get this instant snapshot of someone bent over. Randy has this one. One time he had it was an object. It was glasses or a cane. Okay, is somebody here having a problem with eyesight Or is someone having a hard time walking without some object? Now, we think God's more spiritual than that. We want to be more spiritual. But God's practical. Why does he speak to us through dreams and enigmas anyway? Why did Jesus speak through parables? He doesn't per se want you to figure them out. But to be sensitive to spirit talk, we'll call it. Number four, you can read them. You actually see words on or over a person, or the words look like a newspaper headlines or a banner. It can be a word written on the wall. I read an account one time, it wasn't Randy. This pastor or this counselor got this guy, young guy in his office, and what he saw on the guy's forehead was the word pornography. In the spirit. And this guy's talking about his struggles, and you know, his heart's cold toward the Lord, and he doesn't like it, and et cetera, et cetera. And finally, the guy couldn't hold back. He says, by the way, are you dabbling in pornography? Yeah. See, God showed him. He showed him a word. And the fifth one is you can say them. Have you ever heard yourself talk, and it's not you? You're listening to yourself speak as if you're the audience. You see, when you appear before the magistrates and they want you to hide, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Spirit of God will tell you, will help you what to say. Same principle. Recently, I was ministering to someone in my office. I'm going to be very vague here. And closing some stuff in the spirit realm. And so I was leading him through. And he wasn't quite sure. So I was leading him through to break off soul ties. And so I said, say such and such. But something else came out of his mouth. And it was the enemy identifying himself. So it wasn't the Holy Spirit, but it was in the spirit. It was the enemy identifying himself with what was really going on there. Now, it was an obvious one. He caught himself and he knew what he had said, and he says, that wasn't me. But this is the same kind of deal. You can say them. You do not think of what is said. It just comes out like tongues. It'll often surprise you and open up the people you minister to as if the words spoken were a key to unlock the issues behind the sickness or the issue. So those are the five. You can feel them. You can think them. You can see them. You can read them, and you can say them. Now, when the Holy Spirit gives a word of knowledge, he gives it for a specific purpose. He never gives useless information. It's an indication God wishes to heal those who have the condition revealed through the word of knowledge. And so the person receiving the word should what? Speak it out at that time or the next appropriate time. Don't keep it to yourself. It may have nothing to do with you, but it's for somebody. Someone is to benefit from it. Or second, see if it applies to someone present and offer to pray for them right away. I had this sharp pain. Does anyone identify with a painful femur? Now, the one giving it may or may not know for whom the revelation is intended. Most of the time, it's for someone present. What God is asking of us here is to go to get out of our comfort zone. To go beyond where you're normally going. To begin to do what you may not want to sign up to do. But if we are believing that we are to have a second healing conference, and we are, for some of us, to go out there, then God wants us to act upon and not just play the game. This isn't to bring shame to you or embarrass you or make you look like a fool. This is for us to grow up so that through signs and wonders, and we'll get to that in the fourth one, that the gospel of the kingdom was always accompanied by signs and wonders. We get the gospel of the kingdom message. Where it's lean is the signs and wonders accompanying it. And I have the same questions as you, as Lord, why not more? Well, unless we launch out from the shore, we'll never get to the other side. Unless we grow and grow and grow in hearing God. And I'm not saying you don't hear God. Some of you hear him well, but you can hear him more. Some of you haven't heard him or don't recognize him. You can begin to hear him. God speaks to all of you. So here's some challenges. There's a vague word of knowledge that you could be tempted to ignore. It's like this cloudy something. I don't know what this is. Oh, well, don't. At the very least, write it down. And if it's the beginning of a conference or beginning of a service or beginning of somewhere, maybe it's not the opportunity, but somewhere it needs to be released. You might think it's not important or that it's just for you. Well, step out and say, you know, I don't even like the mic. So you go to someone who's not afraid to speak up here and say, I've got this word. I got this pain. I got this feeling. I got this thought. Release it. But stepping out, yes, your nerves will be tested. Especially if it's the first time you have a word, stage fright, and whatever else. I'm not minimizing that. You just get a vague impression, and praying for the sick is new for you. You're stretching me. You're stretching me. No, I'm not. I'm not. I don't want to make you do anything you're not comfortable doing. But what is the Holy Spirit saying? See, this is between you and him. If he gives you the word, he didn't give it to somebody else. Why did he give it to you? What are you to do with it? Yes, he's a gentleman, but sometimes he takes you out of your comfort zone. So step out. Don't let fear stop you. It will build faith. We're at the bottom of the hour. And what I want to pray here is for any of you, actually for all of you, I'm on a journey here as well, and I want to hear God more than I do. I want to recognize his voice more than I do. But for some of you who have never, never heard God speak that way, if you're willing to receive that, and possibly this even goes against your theology, I'm not here to offend you. Test what I brought with the word of God. But I want to pray for you, and if you have faith to believe for this, I want to release the grace so you begin to hear and recognize what you're hearing. So let me pray, and then I'll call Bert up to close the service. So, Father, we thank you for your word. Your word says that my sheep hear my voice. And there's many ways you speak to us. We recognize, we affirm, and declare this morning in 1 Corinthians 2, that it is your spirit who speaks to our spirit. And thank you, Father, that many times it defies our rational and intellectual mind. We thank you, Lord, that the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of man. And so this morning we say, Lord, we want to discern, hear, recognize, and act upon and grow in hearing your voice and doing something with it, whatever it is you tell us or show us. So, Lord, you've said, let it be according to your faith. And so, Lord, we say this morning, for those hearts that are open for more, we by faith receive that promise that my sheep will hear my voice. So, Lord, let it be before the day is over, before the hour is over, or the next time we get into a quiet place, if that's what we need, we will hear you and recognize you. Lord, speak in a way that is conducive to us as individuals. You have made us uniquely and majestically in your image, just the way you wanted us. And so, Father, we receive this morning the grace to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Bill. You know, one of the I've heard different messages on hearing God, and one of the things that helped me the most was just something really simple, and it pertains to what we see, what we, you know, who we are in that sense. And in the scripture, it says the heavens themselves speak of the glory of God. And you can have one person look at a mountain and look at the everything that's there, the firmament, everything that's there, and they'll see evolution. They'll see dirt. They'll see whatever. But if we have a tender heart, if we're listening in that sense, if our heart is open, we'll hear God speaking. We'll hear God saying, look, you know, the beauty, the creation, we'll see God in it. So all of a sudden it's speaking to us. So and in that sense, even tuning myself to it more, whenever I see the majesty of what God has, it just really did speak to me. And it also opened my mind up. I'm just not hearing, you know, just like what Bill was saying. I'm not, you know, God is still speaking, but you're just not hearing. Your ears aren't open. So are there any testimonies here today of hearing God? Anybody want to be vulnerable and come up here?
I just recalling a recent trip to Dominican, and I had a desire to sow into something there, and I was sitting by thinking about it, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I talked to another pastor, Tim Belbin, and Tim says, he phoned me back, and he said, listen, he said, I've been praying about this, and he said, I want you to go to Dominican, and whatever you have to sow in, God will show you where, and God will show you how much, and just wait for him to speak. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes sense, but I don't know how that's going to work. And I got there, and one of the things I'd written down some stuff, and I was praying when I got there.